Blog Talk Radio.
Again, beloved, that is 929-477-3997. Now, if you live outside of the continental United States of America, you can call us in right now at 1-929-477-3997. Again, beloved, that is 1-929-477-3997. You can also email us your questions during the duration of tonight's broadcast at Global Spiritual Revolution Radio at yahoo.com. Again, beloved, Global Spiritual Revolution Radio at yahoo.com. We are nationally syndicated through the Talk America Radio Network out of Dallas, Texas. Now, beloved, the Talk America Radio Network is the new dominant force in conservative talk radio. Amen. We are also ever so blessed to be a part of the world-renowned conglomerate, the iHeartRadio Network, in the iHeartMedia Group here in New York City, New York. I am so very honored and so very humbled by the Lord, including my staff and production team here at Global Spiritual Revolution Radio and Media Group here in New York City, New York, to have one of the most powerful authors, not just here in the United States of America, but around the world, the world-renowned author, amen, of the New Confessions of an Economic Hitman. My God, this is that's powerful. The New Confessions of an Economic Hitman, amen. He is also the author of The Secret History of the American Empire, The Truth About Economic Hitmen, Jackals, and How to Change the World. And we have with us here tonight Mr. John Perkins. Mr. Perkins, thank you so much, sir, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us here tonight on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thank you. I like what's global. I like spiritual, and revolution is all the way. So it's great to be with you. Thank you.
It is such a great honor. Thank you so much. And to all of our Global Spiritual Revolution partners, you can go on Mr. Perkins' website at www.johnperkins.org. Again, johnperkins.org. And Mr. Perkins, amen, is also the founder, amen, of dreamchange.org. Again, dreamchange.org. All right, the New Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which is from the 2004 blockbuster book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Mr. Perkins, what prompted you to write a book of this caliber? Because I've got to tell you, Mr. Perkins, it is indeed one of the most powerful and prolific books when it comes to exposing this global cabal, this deep state financial colonization that's been going on probably since World War One. What prompted you back in 2004? Actually, you began writing this back in the 80s to write The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which now brings us to the New Confessions of an economic hitman.
Well, yes, the original book, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, the fact that I'd had that job and done the things that I did, I started writing the book back in the early 80s when I stopped doing that job. My official title was chief economist. That economic hitman was kind of a tongue-in-cheek phrase. I was threatened. My life was threatened. My young daughter's life was threatened back then, and I was convinced not to write the book. I go into detail in the new confessions about that. Basically, was bribed not to write the book and have my daughter killed, me killed. I didn't write it for a number of years. I did write several other books about indigenous people that I went and helped out in the Amazon, books like Shapeshifting and The World is As You Dream It. And then after 9/11, I was in the Amazon on 9/11, and afterwards I went up to Ground Zero. When I looked down at that smoldering pit, I knew I had to come clean on what I had done as an economic hitman. And so I wrote the book at that point. And I kept it as a secret that I was writing it so that I couldn't have my life threatened or be bribed. I wrote the whole manuscript in secret and got it out to publishers. Then it became a huge success. As you're aware, it was a New York Times bestseller for almost a year and a half, and over 30 languages. But years later, 12 years later, I realized that things had changed so radically in those 12 years and gotten worse in many respects that I needed to do a follow-up book. And that's why I wrote The New Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which has most of the information that the original book has in it, plus 15 new chapters that go into what's happened since and what we really need to do to turn things around.
Yes. I find this to be so interesting. Again, we have with us world-renowned author, economist, Mr. John Perkins, as chief economist at a major international consulting firm. John Perkins advised the World Bank, the United Nations, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the U.S. Treasury Department, many Fortune 500 corporations and leaders of countries in Africa, Asia, Latin America, in the Middle East. Again, the new confessions of an economic hitman here with our very special guest, Mr. John Perkins. You made a powerful, powerful comment. You got so much wisdom, Mr. Perkins. In one of your interviews, you had said, and I had to write this down, living off the benefits of a clandestine empire. Again, the American empire, living off the benefits of a clandestine empire, which brings me to my next question. When did this empire begin? And number two, when did we see the birth of these economic jackals going back in history?
Well, I think there's been a form of economic jackals around through most of history, actually. But within our own in our own country, this has been going on for a while. We had the ideas of manifest destiny, which we thought gave us the right to interfere in Latin America and so on and so forth for many years. But I think the real turning point was at the end of World War II, when we were finally, basically emerged as a world superpower, and the Soviet Union was emerging as another superpower. We had the Cold War going on, but that's really the beginning of our rise toward huge prominence and trying to take over as a major empire. It's also really the beginning of the economic hitman thing. So the economic hitman idea really began in the early 50s in Iran, when democratically elected prime minister of Iran, Mohammad Mossadegh, was threatening to nationalize oil companies. Our government was very strongly opposed to that. It was the Eisenhower administration, and under him were Secretary of State and head of the CIA, two brothers, John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles. And Eisenhower did not want to really meddle in Iran in any kind of way that would possibly generate a nuclear war with Russia, which is obviously on the border with Iran. So he was reluctant to do anything very overt. The Dulles brothers came up with this idea of sending in a CIA agent to get rid of Mossadegh. And in fact, they sent in Kermit Roosevelt, grandson of Teddy Roosevelt, with a few suitcases filled with money. And Roosevelt was able to corrupt policemen and military people, and then just hire a bunch of people in the street, mainly thugs in the street, to take to the streets and make it look as though Mossadegh was very unpopular. And in the end, was able to overthrow Mossadegh and put him under house arrest and bring in the Shah of Iran, who we all know was very friendly to the United States and oil companies. That was an incredibly successful maneuver. A few million dollars, instead of sending in armies and risking an all-out war, one man with his assistants, but went in, a CIA agent, with a few million dollars and accomplished what seemed like an impossible task. The only problem was he was a card-carrying CIA agent, and had he been caught, the United States would have been very embarrassed, to say the least. So the decision was made shortly after that to not use CIA agents, but use contractors like me, consultants, to do basically the same kind of work. And so that was really the beginning of it, early 50s during the Cold War. And then it's been mushrooming ever since.
I've read somewhere today, Mr. Perkins, in preparing for you, that the U.S. inflation rate since 1913, and this is in conjunction to your powerful books here tonight, the New Confessions of an Economic Hitman and the Secret History of the American Empire, that the American inflation rate since 1913 has risen 3,000% as far as inflation. Do we need to totally dismantle the Federal Reserve? Because it seems like, Mr. Perkins, this Federal Reserve is a cancer within the anatomy of America.
Well, I agree that the Federal Reserve is an anomaly. It's privately owned. Most people think it's part of the government. It isn't. It has created a currency system that's totally based on debt usury, essentially. Putting people deep into debt. And, yeah, it's an archaic system, and it favors the very rich. So, yes, I'm totally in favor of changing as to the inflation rate. I don't know how much it's increased. But, you know, inflation is part of what goes along with any sort of a central banking system that's based on debt the way that our Federal Reserve is.
Take us through, kind of walk us through, matriculate us through this New Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You may mention in part one from 1963 to 71. We know that we can't get through both books tonight, but we got to have you back. But just kind of walk us through, Mr. Perkins, as far as the different sections of the New Confessions book first before we get to the Second Empire. Part one, 1963 to 71. Part 2, 71 to 75. Part 3, from 75 to 81. Part 4, from 81 to 2004. And part 5, 2004 to today. I know we won't be able to get through all these parts tonight, but kind of walk us through, because this is very powerful. And I'm praying for you, because I'm thinking, my God, has your life been threatened because of this this revelation of these books?
Well, not only was it threatened, but I, you know, in that last section of the book you mentioned, I talk about how I ended up shortly after the Confessions of an Economic Hitman, the original one, was published in late 2004. In early 2005,
yes,
I was supposed to speak at the United Nations, and I was in New York on a Monday night. I was going to speak, and on Tuesday, I went out to lunch with a very sketchy kind of freelance journalist who I have no doubt now poisoned me, because that later that afternoon, mm-hmm, early evening, I lost about over half the blood in my body through internal bleeding very, very rapidly.
Oh,
rushed to Lenox Hill Hospital and spent the next 2 weeks there, and they removed 70% of my large intestine. So, yeah, you know, by the time we figured out, I mean, it was an emergency situation, so nobody was thinking about poison to begin with. We were thinking about just saving my life, frankly. I was told not even to call an ambulance, to take a cab, because the ambulance wouldn't get there in time. But after the operation, you know, I began to get a lot of emails and people saying, well, you know, you were poisoned. And then I put two and two together that I had a colonoscopy shortly before that, a few months before that, that had given me pretty much a clean bill of health. And this sketchy character that had taken me out to lunch and I'd gone to the restroom and so forth, we put two and two together, and it became pretty obvious that that is what happened, that I was poisoned as a result of that. I will say I don't think that he was a government agent. I don't think he was NSA or CIA, because they didn't want to see me poisoned at that point, because they know that if something like that came out, it would sell lots of books. And in fact, the fact that people believed I had been poisoned did sell lots of books. So I suspect that the guy was, probably, you know, a fanatic who didn't like what I had done, or didn't like the fact that I'd written about it, didn't like that I was a whistleblower. Who knows? Well, you know what we do know is that there's a lot of people out there that all their neighbors think are just totally nice, normal people, and then suddenly they go into a school and start shooting people for no apparent reason at all. So I suspect that this guy was in that category.
And this is interesting. In these five parts of the New Confessions of an Economic Hitman, we have with us world-renowned author Mr. John Perkins. We got to get you here for a lecture here in New York City. The New Confessions of an Economic Hitman and the Secret History of the American Empire, the Truth About Economic Hitmen, Jackals, and How to Change the World. Do you think that not to be jumping the chapters here, Mr. Perkins, that the assassination of John F. Kennedy had something to do with these jackals and the threat that President Kennedy opposed, not just to the deep state, but to these American global economic jackals? Do you think that he was such a threat to the point where they had to take him out?
Well, there's an awful lot of speculation to that, and it's hard for me to add to it. I like to talk about personal experiences, and I had no personal experience at all around that. Certainly, I do know that there are jackals out there that are capable of doing that kind of thing. As to what happened to Kennedy, it would be pure speculation on my part, and I really don't like to speculate. I like to talk about, you know, things where I've actually had the experience.
Absolutely. And going down, you talked about Iran in 1953, Guatemala, you know, I heard you talk about Venezuela. And it seems like these three, there's like three-tier way that the deep state, these economic jackals operate in. There's the economic hitman, the CIA-sponsored jackals, and then ultimately they send in the military. Again, who are these jackals, these economic jackals, and who do they work for, from your insight, sir?
Yeah, so the way that this whole thing works is it usually economic hitmen are pretty successful, because heads of state know that if we go in, our job basically at economic hitmen is to go in and find a country. We do this with countries that have resources that corporations covet, like oil or other such resources, and we'll then let the head of state of that country know that what we'd really like them to do is take a huge loan from the World Bank or one of its sister organizations. The money won't actually ever go to the country. It goes to our own corporations, the Bechtels and Halliburtons and Brown and Roots and the big construction companies, the General Electrics that make the equipment and so on. They make a lot of money off building infrastructure systems in those countries. Power plants, roads, highways, ports, bridges, so forth. So they make a lot of money. A few wealthy people in those countries benefit because they own the industries and the commercial centers that benefit from the infrastructure. But the majority of the people end up suffering because money's diverted from schools, from education, from healthcare and other social services to pay off the interest on the loans. And in the end, the principal isn't ever paid off. And so we go back and say, hey, since you can't pay your loans, sell your resources, oil, whatever, real cheap to our corporations without any environmental or social regulations, or let us build a military base on your soil, or vote with us in the next United Nations vote against Cuba or Russia or somebody. So it's really about empire building. And most heads of state get that. They go along with it. They know they're going to get rich off the process. Their cronies, their buddies are going to get rich. But in the few instances where they don't, and two of my clients, Jaime Roldos, the democratically elected president of Ecuador, and Omar Torrijos of Panama, they refused. They said, no, we're not going to sell our country down the tube like that. We're not going to put our country into such deep debt. That's when the jackals go in and either overthrow governments or assassinate their leaders. Mossadegh was overthrown. He wasn't assassinated. The CIA has admitted to being deeply involved in that, as they've admitted to being deeply involved with overthrowing Allende in Chile and Arbenz in Guatemala, Lumumba the Congo, and Diem in Vietnam. In fact, I've just been watching this Vietnam series done by Ken Burns for PBS, and gets into that in some detail about the role that President Kennedy played in that. And so, in my case, these two presidents that I worked with, Jaime Roldos of Ecuador and Omar Torrijos of Panama, I did not play the game. They wouldn't go along with what I wanted them to do, and they were both killed in very suspicious plane crashes. It's never been proved that it was CIA induced, but I have no doubt about it. And when I say CIA, I don't mean actually CIA agents. That's too risky. They use contractors, right. And they can get contractors from places like in those days Argentina, which was under a military dictatorship. There's many places they can reach out to, including organizations like the Mafia.
And I read somewhere today, and this is so interesting. We are talking with one of my favorite authors, Mr. John Perkins, The New Confessions of an Economic Hitman, here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio, that the president of Venezuela, President Nicolas Maduro, is introducing a new currency called the cryptocurrency system called the petrol, backed by oil reserves and other natural resources, in the latest attempt to cope with the what they call the abysmal national economy and multiple rounds of U.S. sanctions. And not to be placing any gloom or doom on President Maduro, but because of this cryptocurrency and him not playing the game, you know, he could be the victim of one of these jackals. Am I correct in saying this, sir?
Well, absolutely, he could be. You know, the people who've tried to displace the U.S. dollar as the world's oil currency have met with terrible fates. Saddam Hussein is one of them, and Gaddafi of Libya was another one. Hugo Chavez in Venezuela also was a proponent of that at one point. So we'll see what happens with Maduro. The thing is that right now Venezuela is so weak. It's so demolished in every way. And he is such an unpopular president that I'm not sure anybody's really going to take him seriously. But we'll see what happens next.
Mr. Perkins, as we delve a little deeper into both of these books, after the economic hitman go in and head of state refuses them, and then the CIA sends in their sponsor jackals, and if this doesn't work, the military. Is there any other nation on earth that has this template, this format, the way that they deal with nations of how we deal with nations? Are we the only nation on earth that has this type of template of how we deal with second and third world nations?
Well, in most of my lifetime, we've been the primary mover of that. I wouldn't say the only one. I'm not sure. It's historically, it's kind of an old model, but up until the time of Mossadegh in Iran and Kermit Roosevelt's extreme success there, countries were much more tempted to use just the jackals or the military, to use military force. That was a turning point in the early 50s when Kermit Roosevelt was so successful and it was so inexpensive and there were so few risks involved that it became the template. And of course, after the war in Vietnam, which the United States obviously lost, Then it became even a stronger template. So, and of course, that followed a pretty abysmal situation in Korea. So those two combined to mean that after the end of the Vietnam War, the whole focus during my time as an economic hitman was on using the economic hitman approach and not relying on the military approach, relying on economic hitman and jackals. But, you know, that resulted in a whole sector of our economy, which Eisenhower defined as the military-industrial complex, as being very upset. But by the time the Bushes get into the presidency, there was a lot of noise being made by the manufacturers of arms and so forth that they weren't getting their fair share. And so when 9/11 happened, that gave a great excuse or an opportunity for us to go back into the war machine. And since then, what we've really had is this, we've still got the economic hitmen out there. In fact, they're worse now than ever. They're much more prolific now than they ever been before. And in addition, of course, we have the jackals and we have the military. So I think this may be the first time in history, at least modern history, where we've had this really, right now we have this very strong three-pronged approach. And of course, all of it feeds some very wealthy people, makes some very wealthy people much wealthier.
You know, this thing is such on a level, you know, it's so deep, it's so wide, it's so high. Is there anything besides prayer that can bring this system down? I mean, I know it's a question that is very complicated. It's huge. But it just seems like we're so entrenched as a country that, you know, Alexander Hamilton had said that, unless we, incur a national debt, we can never survive as a nation.
Well, we are coming down. We're being brought down. This empire is in its death throes, I think, at this point, because it's what we've realized is that this system is failing all of us across the planet, and it's not just this country, but it's failing everywhere. I mean, there's no question the glaciers are melting, the oceans are rising, species are going extinct at unacceptable rates. We are brutalizing ourselves and our planet like never before. At the same time, the Chinese are definitely on the rise, and they've got their economic hitmen. They're very strong in Latin America right now and Africa. I spent a lot of time in Latin America. Just came from there 2 weeks ago, and I'm headed back there in another 2 weeks. And, you know, they're competing with us very, very strongly, and I think they've learned a lot from our mistakes, so they're not making some of the same mistakes. For example, they're not putting big military presences in these countries the way we did. And they're not strong-arming governments to come around with policies quite the same way we did, but they are very much after the resources of those countries. So that's really modifying U.S. stance. But I think the biggest thing of all is to recognize that people around the world today are getting it, that we have created a political, social, economic system that I call a death economy, that is based on war and based on destroying the earth and destroying the resources upon which it depends. So people are really understanding that it has to change. Major corporate executives are getting it, that it has to change, that we need to move into something that I and a lot of other economists refer to as the life economy, one that's based on cleaning up pollution, regenerating destroyed environments, new technologies that recycle, that don't ravage the earth anymore. And so we're getting the understanding that we must drop the old system and move into a new one if we're going to survive as a species on a planet that any of us will recognize.
This is so powerful. And not to get off topic, Mr. Perkins, again, I love your books. I mean, you have such a tremendous gift with words, with the linguistics, what I call the schematical structure of words here when it comes to the New Confessions of an Economic Hitman and the Secret History of the American Empire, the truth about economic hitmen, jackals, and how to change the world here with Mr. John Perkins. Not to get off topic, but I read something today that according to the World Bank, .org, again, worldbank.org, that out of the top 100 most economically sound countries in the world as far as the gross domestic product, 69 of the top 100 are corporations. And 90% of the 69 corporations that's in the top 100 of the gross GDP are American-based nations, countries, are American-based corporations here in the United States. That's, if that's not an empire, I don't know what is. It's interesting.
Yes, yes. Well, and it really is a corporate empire more than an American empire. And a lot of those corporations that consider themselves or that are classified as U.S. American corporations, they have no loyalty to this country. You know, they'll locate their headquarters in Dubai, as some of them have done, or other places. They have no loyalty here. They go wherever they pay the lowest taxes, they get the lowest labor rates or whatever. So it's a really, we've got a, what we have here now is a global empire that's really a corporate empire more than a U.S. empire. However, U.S. taxpayers support it. So it's our military that goes in and protects these corporations. You know, it's always interesting to me how people who talk about, reducing the government and reducing our debt also talk about expanding the Pentagon. And those two things are inconsistent. You know, the biggest part of government is the Pentagon, and the people who are always pushing for less government, and I'm all for less government, but I'm particularly for less military. The military is out there not defending you and me. It's not really defending our rights. It's defending big corporations. Mm-hmm. It's supporting a huge economic incentive. You know, you and I think we lost the war in Vietnam, but the people, heads of big corporations, won that war. And they're winning the war in the Middle East because they're making a lot of money. That doesn't mean that they're winning the war as a war, but they are benefiting tremendously off of it. They are true war profiteers, and it's a big business these days.
And what's so scary about this, not to get off topic, Mr. Perkins, that Walmart is number 10 as far as the gross domestic, producing the gross domestic product level, not just here in the United States, but around the world. And they're ahead of many nations. It just, but again, they're Walmart. Now, I'm not Walmart bashing, but they're making the bulk of their products in these second and third world countries, where you got little boys and little girls working in these sweatshops, you know, as far as with Walmart. Something has to change as far as that when we're talking about, you know, exposing this empire, because I don't think we can sustain this as a country. What say you?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. And it's up to us, you and me and your listeners, to change that. We have to recognize that we actually have the power to change it. You asked earlier, what can we do about this? Well, we have tremendous power. If your listeners organize a social networking campaign and you write emails to Walmart and say, hey, I like your products, but I'm not going to shop at your stores anymore until you pay your workers a fair wage or whatever. And you know, if every one of your listeners sends an email like that once a week to Walmart or to Nike or to Chevron, just pick a company, and also sends it to all your social networking circles and ask them to send it to all their social networking circles, and all those people overload these companies with those kind of emails, they will change. Because CEOs, and I know a lot of them, I lecture to them, I tell them these things, I speak at a lot of their conferences, they are very aware. Is that Kodak no longer exists, nor does Eastern Airlines, nor does Woolworths, nor does the Sharper Image, nor does a lot of other big corporations that we all thought were invincible at one point, but they're gone because they made bad management decisions, they didn't listen to their customers, and CEOs are very aware of that. So the power today to change the system lies with your listeners and sending emails, sending texts, Facebook postings. You know, there's a tremendous power there that we need to recognize. consumer movements have great power. They got rid of apartheid in South Africa back years ago. They got rivers in the United States cleaned up in many parts of the United States. Get companies to open their doors wider to women and minorities, to label foods for nutrition, et cetera, put seatbelts in cars, on and on. Consumer movements have a tremendous amount of power, and today it's easier than ever with social networking.
We have Mr. John Perkins. I love this interview here tonight on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. The New Confessions of an Economic Hitman in the Secret History of the American Empire, The Truth About Economic Hitmen, Jackals, and How to Change the World. I know through the World Bank, the IMF, the U.S. Agency for International Development, and I know that as a country we control these entities. And I agree with you 100%. I believe our listeners, as a matter of fact, we have a little over 15.5 million listeners online, while from 167 countries around the world here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio, that I believe collectively, Mr. Perkins, as not just as a nation, but as part of the human race, that one person at a time, we can make some those small changes, but those small changes collectively can bring down, at least put a dent in this global cabal, what we call today the deep state. Am I correct in saying that, sir?
Absolutely. Yes, and they're big changes. You know, through consumer movements, we can create big changes. We have to understand that corporations run the world today. They run governments. And
yes,
yet they're made up of people. There's nothing sinister about a corporation. It's a bunch of people. And to a large degree, it's controlled by the way its consumers, its investors, and its workers behave. And, you know, the general public, us, we the people, have bought into this idea that we're powerless, that they have all the power, that they just control everything, and we just throw up our hands and say, well, there's nothing I can do. But that's not true. We can do a tremendous amount. And in the New Confessions of the Economic Hitman, at the end of the book, there's a lot of lists. There's a list for things people can do. And it breaks it down by students, a list of things students can do, entrepreneurs can do, business people can do, parents can do. There are all these lists of things that we can do quite easily and have fun doing them that will change the world, that will bring things around. It's time that we did that and to recognize the power that we as the consumer have, and ultimately we are the ones that have the power. Corporate executives that I know, and I know a lot of them, feel vulnerable themselves. They will tell me, you know, I want to be greener. I want to pay people a fair wage. I want to do a better job with the environment.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid that if I lose a small percentage of market share or the stock prices go down of my corporation, the major stockholders will fire me and replace me with someone who only cares about market share. And so they say, you know, please, please ask the people that you speak to send emails telling me I have to change, telling our company, and then I can take those who are major stockholders and say, hey, we've got to pay our workers a fair price. We've got to do a better job with the environment. And then we also go to the government, to Congress, and say, hey, change the law so that it's a level playing field, so it's not just my company that's having to do these things, but all the competitors should have to do it too.
It's amazing, our great country here. We consume 30% of the world's resources. That's mind-boggling. That may not be sound like that percentage may not be high according to the average person, but 30% we consume. We're talking about oil and gas and minerals. And I know in North Korea they got trillions of dollars worth of minerals. I hope and pray that the North Korean comes to a quick resolution, because there's a madman there, Kim Jong-un, but that's another topic for another day. But correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Perkins, that we have more oil than any other country on the face of the earth, but yet we consume more oil from second and third world countries. Am I correct in saying that, or am I off a little?
Well, it changes. I mean, it's really hard to know how much oil anybody really has. It's totally correct that 5% of the world's population lives in the United States, and we consume 30% of the world's resources, not just oil, but all the resources, and that's outrageous. We also know that 3 individuals have as much wealth as half the population of this country. 8 individuals have as much wealth as half the world's population. Now, that tells you something, doesn't it? It tells you that the system is broken. It's broken, and there's tremendous inequality. We need to turn it around. We must change it if we want to continue to survive on this planet. I have a 10-year-old grandson, and, you know, I often think, what's this world going to be like in 6 decades when he's my age? Yeah. So we've got to do better. And, you know, it's got to be us, your listeners, we the people. We can't look to our leaders to do it. You know, Trump can't do it. Hillary couldn't do it. Sanders couldn't do it.
Right.
You pick it. They can only do it. We have to do it.
Yes. Wow. We have with us Mr. John Perkins, one of the most powerful authors, not only in this country, but around the world, who travels all over this world to reveal truth, authenticity, and how we as the human race can do our part to bring down this global cabal, this deep state, whatever we want to call it, this Illuminati. We're talking about the Confessions of an Economic Hitman, the Secret History of the American Empire, here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. I've got a lot of pastor friends, Mr. Perkins, in Africa, throughout the Caribbean, but specifically in Africa. You made mention of China earlier in the segment. A lot of my pastor friends in South Africa, Nigeria, Tanzania, the Congo, they're saying that the Chinese government is going into many of these African countries and buying up their natural resources, their gold, their oil, and so that way the Chinese can help them build highways and schools, but the money, especially the blessings of having controlling, nationalizing your own oil, those oil profits are not going to the people. Those oil profits, and this is according to a lot of my African friends who are bishops like myself, that they're saying, Bishop, a lot of the millions of dollars of oil money and gold and from the diamond mines and the copper mines in South Africa, that money is not going to the betterment of the African people. It's going into someone's pocket and, you know, in some offshore account in Switzerland. Again, it's the same economic structure of jackals that now the Chinese are trying to perfect. It's interesting.
Yeah, you know, as I think I mentioned earlier, it seems as though the Chinese may have learned from some of our mistakes and not being quite as blatant in terms of locating military bases in these countries in Africa, or imposing some of the policies, but their methods are very similar to ours, their economic hitmen methods, putting countries deep into debt and using the minerals in the ground or whatever the resource is as collateral for that debt. So the Chinese are on a huge lending spree. They've got the BRICS Bank. They've got the AIIB, the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, going for them, even bigger than the World Bank today. They're doing exactly the same thing that we did, but perhaps not being quite as blatant and maybe not making quite as many mistakes as we've made in the past. It's very scary that it's happening. You mentioned Africa, and you think about it, Africa is the wealthiest continent in the world on a resource-based system. We're the poorest people in the world. So what does that tell you? It tells you that those people are being terribly, terribly exploited. We did it to them. The French did it to them. The Germans did it to them. The Dutch did it to them. The English did it to them. And now the Chinese are doing it to them. And it's a terrible, terrible crime. It's a terrible shame. We need to move to a system that doesn't work like that. It's really imperative that we do that. We move to a new system.
You know, you got to look back in history. Patrice Lumumba, the Congo. You know, he wouldn't go by. He would not kowtow. You know, to the CIA, to the Western powers, and we know what happened to him. It's just so many of these leaders who are now having their nations, their countries, so enslaved. And there's no way, Mr. Perkins, that the middle class and the poor can pay for the debt of the rich. So, like you said, we can do our part one person at a time. And, again, I got pastor friends in Jamaica, and they're telling me that, Jamaica is so enslaved now to what we call to the corporatocracy system of the world and to our global spiritual revolution partners. We have John Perkins with us, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. Can you reveal to us, Mr. Perkins, the definition of corporatocracy? We've been hearing this word for many years. How do we define corporatocracy?
Well, I think it's fair to say that the corporatocracy are the people who head up our major corporations, and they also control governments around the world through the power of those corporations to a very large degree. They're not necessarily the CEOs of the corporations. They may be people behind the scenes, like the Koch brothers, for example, but they have amazing, amazing power. And anybody who thinks the United States is a democracy is deluding himself or herself, because not only, I mean, I'm not quibbling over the definition between a democracy and a republic, but what I am saying is that the idea of one person, one vote in this country just doesn't work at all anymore. If it ever did, today we know that the corporate heads have the equivalent of 1,000 votes as opposed to my one vote or your one vote. Because through campaign financing, they wield huge amounts of power. And it isn't just campaign financing. It's also the fact that they can tell politicians that if they lose the election or if they decide not to run next time, they'll have an amazingly lucrative job as a lobbyist or a consultant to the corporations. So they have amazing power. You know, I recently read, and I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but I read that you can buy a member of the House of Representatives for about $20,000 in campaign financing, or you can buy a senator. You can buy a senator for about $120,000, and that's pretty damn cheap for most of these corporations. That's just peanuts.
Wow, wow! I know President Trump is trying to put a stop to that. And again, not to get off topic here tonight, the new Confessions of an Economic Hitman in the Secret History of the American Empire. I got a confession to make to you, Mr. Perkins. I am a Donald Trump fan. I support him 100%. I'm not under any illusions that the man is perfect. But again, not to get off topic, but from your, if I can say, political and economical insights, why is the deep state or this corporatocracy system so afraid of President Trump? What threat does he pose to the system?
Well, I'm not convinced that the corporatocracy is opposed to Trump. I think that a lot of them support him, and certainly this new tax package that is coming through Congress and he says he'll sign. Big money supports that. The wealthy are going to benefit hugely from that. So I'm not at all convinced that they are opposed to Trump. I think some of them are generally concerned that they don't know what Trump really stands for, that he says a number of different things. It's hard sometimes to follow him. You hear that criticism. But I think the very wealthy are quite happy with the way things are going, with the judges that Trump has put into office and with the tax policies, etc. So I'm not sure at all that I agree with you that they oppose him. It depends, on different individuals, different ways. But it's not, you know, so I think that to a large degree, Trump has fed into their hands. And in a way, he's one of them. He's extremely wealthy. He's going to benefit personally from these new tax policies.
Mm-hmm. And from, well, I'll get to that question later on. What prompted you to leave the life as an economic hitman? I'll ask that before we close out tonight. But as we're talking about this American empire, I'm so fascinated. When we're talking about buying off third world debt, this has gotten worse from your perspective, Mr. Perkins, going back 30 years. Has it gotten worse, or is it getting better as far as not taxing second and third world countries, or is it just is it getting worse from your perspective, sir?
It's not only getting worse with a third world, but the reason I wrote one of the reasons I updated the Confessions 12 years after the original came out and wrote the new Confessions is because the system was so successful in what we call the third world that it has now been used against us here in the United States and in Europe. So this whole economic hitman system of putting people deep into debt has come back to haunt us all. So we've now got incredible student debt. We've got incredible credit card debt and healthcare debt. And so, you know, we've got a whole new genre of economic hitmen. Every corporation basically has their own kind of economic hitmen that are out trying to get the best deals for their corporation. So, right, I live in the state of Washington, not the
yes,
city.
Sir.
And Boeing is here, and Boeing has done an amazing job of getting the state not
wow.
to make Boeing pay any taxes, and because Boeing threatens to go to other states if Washington tries to tax them. And we see this, and those are economic hitmen. They're going around to states, they go around to different countries, they try to work deals whereby the countries will offer much lower minimum wages, much lower taxes, so the corporations will go there. That's a different form of economic hitmen. And many of the lobbyists today in places like Washington, huge cadres of lobbyists, many of them were once members of the House of Representatives or senators who've now making a fortune off lobbying for big corporations. They are another form of economic hitman. So in many respects, we can say that the system has gotten not just worse in places like Africa and Latin America, but that it's also spread to the United States and Europe and other and Japan and other what we call first world countries.
And it's interesting, you made mention in an interview I noticed on some time ago, and I saw on YouTube today, very powerful again, and it really touched my heart when you talked about some of these leaders. Going back to Iran, Guatemala, Venezuela, you had a close friend, one of those Latin American leaders who was assassinated, that you liked him. Rojas, what was his name? That I can't remember his name.
Omar Torrijos of Panama,
yes.
And also Jaime Roldos of Ecuador.
I was almost in tears, but just at the very first time I heard you, I was in Toronto, Canada, oh, God, some years ago, speaking at a conference. I had a pastor friend to give me a DVD of the Zeitgeist, addendum DVD, and what you were saying was so powerful. I was so mesmerized by what you were saying that it really opened up my consciousness, Mr. Perkins, when it comes to how vicious this system can be. And hopefully, like you said, one person at a time, we can make a difference in the world. Boy, any lasting words here before we sign off tonight? There's so much I want to ask you, but I know that you're very busy and you got to go, but it would be such a great honor for us to have you back, especially on the TV portion here at Global Spiritual Revolution Radio.
Sure, I would love to do that. That would be great. And as the final words, I think it's I guess I would say that I feel blessed to be living at this time when there's a lot of crises and a lot of opportunities. I think we're at a time now, we're at a consciousness revolution where people across the planet, and I was
yes.
recently speaking at a big event in Russia, and I go to China, and I go to Africa,
wow.
and Latin America, and all of the United States. I speak
wow.
to liberal groups and conservative groups and all kinds of groups, and everywhere I go, I see that people are waking up to the fact that we live on a very fragile space station, the Earth, and we're navigating her toward disaster. But we're waking up to that, and we're understanding we're going to have to change. You know, the system that we have had has created miracles in science and technology and health
yes.
and so on and so forth. The fact we're having this conversation and you're streaming it live and throughout the world, it's amazing. But
yes.
we've gone too far, and now we realize that we've gotten out of balance and it's time to change. And so I'm excited about these times that we're in and the prospect for turning things around. And I think it's great that we're having this discussion on this radio program where we're reaching a great many people.
I am so excited. I'm so honored. And to all of our Global Spiritual Revolution partners, we've got close to 16 million people listening online now from 171 countries, including in St. Petersburg, Russia. We have a lot of Global Spiritual Revolution partners. And to all of our listeners, if you get an opportunity, go to worldcentric.org, worldcentric.org. And you're talking about the debt of the third world countries, that Nigeria controls nearly 40% of the world's oil, but yet they have borrowed $5 billion from the International Monetary Fund and has paid $16 billion back, but still owes $28 billion. Wait a minute. They borrowed $5 billion. They paid $16 billion back because of interest, and they still owe another $28 billion because of interest. This has to stop, and this is madness. But Mr. Perkins, I want to thank you so very much, sir, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us here tonight on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio.
You're welcome, and it's my pleasure. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm telling you, I'm so honored to be sitting at your feet tonight in Christ as you are pouring into us concerning the new confessions of an economic hitman and the secret history of the American Empire, the truth about economic hitmen, jackals, and how to change the world. Please go to johnperkins.org, johnperkins.org, and dreamchange.org, dreamchange.org. And to also, lastly, but never least, to if all of you, our Global Spiritual Revolution partners, want to purchase Mr. Perkins' books, all you have to do is just go on Amazon.com/John Perkins. Again, Amazon.com/John Perkins. Thank you so much, Mr. Perkins, and we're going to have you back here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. Yeah.
My pleasure.
Thank
you
so much.
I'd like to encourage people to actually put their email address in the little box on my website and sign up for the newsletter.
Absolutely. And matter of fact, we're going to be posting that tonight on social media and to all of our Global Spiritual Revolution partners as we send out a global mass email. I'm telling you, thank you so much, Mr. Perkins. You are truly my hero. I highly honor you, respect you in the Lord, and for the great work that you are doing. Thank you so much, and we'll definitely see you next time here on
great.
Global
Thanks
Spiritual
so
Revolution Radio.
Keep up your great work.
God bless you. Thank you, sir. Amen. And that was John Perkins, The New Confessions of an Economic Hitman, here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. And also The Secret History of the American Empire, The Truth About Economic Hitmen, Jackals, and How to Change the World, here with Mr. John Perkins. I'm telling you, we're going to get him back on the air, on the TV portion next time. And I am so very honored to have one of America's most prolific writers when it comes to writing about the history of corporatocracy, the deep state, this global Illuminati system, of how the global elite has been taxing second and third world countries for a decade, and we are going to bring that to an end by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, to all of our Global Spiritual Revolution partners, thank you for so much for tuning into this very special broadcast here tonight on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. We are we were so very excited, praise God, to have Mr. John Perkins with us here tonight on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. And also I want to announce, amen, that coming on Thursday, all right, this Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have back with us Apostle Kevin L.A. Ewing, all the way from Freeport in the Bahamas. Amen. He will begin a new, we will begin a new discussion entitled Advanced Spiritual Warfare. Again, Advanced Spiritual Warfare. You will not want to miss that broadcast on Thursday night. Pray for me. I will be speaking tomorrow night at a major spiritual warfare and deliverance conference at one of the most powerful deliverance schools here in New York City, at the amazing church there in the Bronx with Apostle Alexander Pagani. Amen. And pray for me tomorrow. And we will be back in the studios here in New York on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Apostle Kevin L.A. Ewing. All right. John Perkins, I'm telling you, powerful writer, The New Confessions of an Economic Hitman in the Secret History of the American Empire, The Truth About Economic Hitmen, Jackals, and How to Change the World. Go to his website right now on johnperkins.org, johnperkins.org, and also go to dreamchange.org, dreamchange.org. And like Mr. Perkins said, you can go on those websites and give them your email address to join their global revolution as well. Now, in my conclusion, listen, we are praying, amen, that you have a blessed night. And I'm asking our Global Spiritual Revolution partners, amen, we need your financial help. Continue to bless us financially. And it takes money. It takes dollars to sustain a ministry. All right. So to all of our Global Spiritual Revolution partners, amen. And to our non-Global Spiritual Revolution partners, if you want to become a Global Spiritual Revolution partner, amen, partner with us. Partner with us. And all I am asking once per month is $5. That's it. Now, you may say, wait a minute, what's the catch, Bishop? There's no catch, all right? If you can partner with us for $5 each month by going to paypal.me/GSRR Media Group. Again, beloved, paypal.me/GSRR Media Group. It's all one word. Again, paypal.me/GSRR Media Group. When you give unto the Lord, I guarantee you he will give you more to give. Amen. Partner with us if you want to become a Global Spiritual Revolution partner. Partner with us right now. Get your credit card or your debit card. Go online to paypal.me/GSRR Media Group. Again, paypal.me/GSRR Media Group. All one word, GSRR Media Group. When you give unto the Lord, I guarantee you he will give you more to give. God bless you all in Jesus' mighty name. We will be back in studio this Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Apostle Kevin L.A. Ewing as we begin a brand new discussion, Advanced Spiritual Warfare. Again, beloved, Advanced Spiritual Warfare, praise God. And we will be posting this powerful interview that we had tonight with Mr. John Perkins on social media, including youtube.com/Global Spiritual Revolution Radio, or when you go onto the YouTube.com, just type in Global Spiritual Revolution Radio, amen, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you go on YouTube, just type in Global Spiritual Revolution Radio and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also join our Global Spiritual Revolution by going to Facebook.com/ Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. Again, Facebook.com/ Global Spiritual Revolution Radio, or just type in Global Spiritual Revolution Radio on Facebook and join our international global broadcast and movement. We are not a radio show. I tell you all the time when I'm on the air, I hate that term. I hate that terminology. We are not a radio show. We are a global movement. Our main goal is to transform the consciousness of mankind to become the consciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So go to paypal.me/ Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. You want to become a Global Spiritual Revolution partner? So $5 each month. That's it. $5 each month. Amen. And we're going to begin to create transcripts for each and every broadcast. And when you become a Global Spiritual Revolution partners, we will email you transcripts, all of the notes that my guests and I, each guest that we have each and every week, you will have those transcripts on your computer via email that you can go back and study. Be a Global Spiritual Revolution partner. Go to paypal.me/ GSRR Media Group. Again, paypal.me/ GSRR Media Group. If you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel, you can do so right now. Go on YouTube and just type in Global Spiritual Revolution Radio and subscribe to us, all right? If you want to join us, our Global Spiritual Revolution Movement, you can do so also right now on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/ Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. If you're on Facebook right now, just type in Global Spiritual Revolution Radio Media Group. Again, Global Spiritual Revolution Radio Media Group. Amen. Follow us on Facebook. Amen. You can also follow us on Twitter. Amen. Just go to Twitter.com/ Bishop L. Gators. Again, Twitter.com/ Bishop L. Gators. That's G-A-I. P-E-R-S. All right, God bless you, and we will see you on Thursday. Pray for me tomorrow night. I will be speaking at the Amazing Church at their Deliverance and Spiritual Warfare School in the Bronx. Amen. Amen. There's supposed to be anywhere from 300 to 400 people. Pray for me tomorrow and tomorrow night in that endeavor, and on Thursday night, amen, we will be back in studio with Apostle Kevin L.A. Ewing, all the way from the Bahamas, where Apostle will be pouring into us on a new topic entitled Advanced Spiritual Warfare. God bless you all. We love you in Jesus' name. Again, for we are raising the consciousness of mankind to become the consciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see you next time, only here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. Good night in Jesus' mighty name.